This morning I invite you to take your Bibles and open them with me to Matthew 21. Matthew 21, we pick up where we left off 2 weeks ago with the triumphal entry. Matthew 21, we'll begin reading with verse 1, but first let's turn our attention to God as we ask Him for His blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we open up your word together, it is our prayer that you will fill us with your spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us to, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew 21, beginning with verse 1, let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking to us. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowds said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you make it a den of robbers. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things he did and the children crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. And they said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies you have prepared praise? And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. In the morning, as he was returning to the city, he became hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but only leaves. And he said to it, may no fruit ever come from you again. And the fig tree withered at once. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither at once? And Jesus answered them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. The grass withers and the flower falls. The word of our Lord remains forever. People of God, as we think about Palm Sunday. As we think about the triumphal entry, each one of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, present the events of the triumphal entry from their own perspective. Same story, same event, just from a different perspective with each Gospel. For example, John is the only one who actually mentions palm branches. Where we get Palm Sunday from. He doesn't say anything about the fig tree, and he doesn't say anything about the temple event. When you look at Luke, Luke is the only one who talks about the rocks crying out. And he doesn't say anything about branches, and the people don't say Hosanna, and there's not a fig tree. And when we look at Matthew and Mark, they're telling the story by including Jesus clearing the temple and this strange incident with the fig tree. And as we look at the events happening in our passage this morning, the triumphal entry and Jesus clearing and cleaning the temple, those events become clearer when you look at them in light of what happened to that fig tree. In light of the events with Jesus withering that fig tree. Actually, Matthew seems to be framing this entire event with the fig tree. Right from the beginning, Jesus, verse 1, he's drawing near to Jerusalem and he's coming from the town called Bethpage, which is translated as the house of the unripe figs. And then you have the triumphal entry and the events in the temple and Jesus cursing that fig tree that has no fruit. Jesus is hungry. And he sees a fig tree along the side of the road that is full of leaves. And what we need to understand, what's happening in this story is that when a fig tree is full of leaves, it will have fruit on it. It might be unripe fruit, but there will be some kind of fruit. If it's full of leaves, it's full of fruit. It's kind of like an orange tree. For those of you who are familiar with orange trees, they'll have fruit hanging on them, and they will bloom to set the fruit for the following season. So there's always fruit on the tree, whether it's ripe or whether it's not. And that's what Jesus is expecting from this fig tree. It's full of leaves. From all outward signs, it should be full of fruit. He's expecting it to have fruit. It's full of leaves. It's healthy. But it's all superficial. There's no fruit. There's nothing except leaves. And so he curses the fig tree and it withers. The fig tree gave the promise of fruit, but it didn't produce. And when we look at the rest of the story in light of what happened to this fig tree, the meaning and the significance becomes clearer. Things aren't always the way they appear. A lot of leaves, but no fruit. As we've worked our way through Matthew, we've come across this theme of seeing with the eyes of faith. The rich young ruler who has everything going for him walks away from Christ, while the young children who have absolutely nothing to offer are the ones who are welcomed and blessed. The crowd that can see and is surrounding Jesus doesn't quite get it, but the blind men who are on the side of the road are the ones crying out for Christ's mercy. And we're going to see that this morning as well, that Jesus is coming looking for that genuine faith, the fruit of a genuine faith. And that's why we place our faith in Christ alone. Things aren't always the way they appear. And we see that this morning in our passage as we look at the crowd, the temple, and third and finally, the fig tree. And so first, the crowd. Matthew, as I mentioned, seems to be framing the triumphal entry and the temple incident with what happened to this fig tree. The people are rejoicing and they're praising, they're quoting from the prophets and the Psalms as they're saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They're doing what appears to be right. They're praising Jesus. Lord, save us. Hosanna. What they're saying is true. What they're saying is right. They're quoting from Psalm 118. They're laying down their cloaks. They're laying down these branches. From all outward appearances, things are going well. They've got it. But then someone asks the question, well, who is this? And how do they respond? Well, this is the Messiah? This is the long-awaited Savior? No, they respond by, oh, this is Jesus. He's a prophet. That prophet from Nazareth. A lot of these people shouting Hosanna were probably making their way to Jerusalem as pilgrims for the Passover. These are possibly people who have heard Jesus teach. They've seen his miracles. Maybe they've even experienced his healing. And so when someone asked, who is this? It's a little bit of a letdown when they say, well, he's a prophet. Rather than the long-awaited Messiah, the one we've been waiting for, the one who's going to bring salvation. Who is this? It's not a new question. Jump all the way back to Matthew 16. Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, well, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah or Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus didn't come just to be a prophet. He came to be a Savior, the Messiah. They're missing the main point. And their answer to the question shows that. It's a lot of leaves. They're saying the right thing. They're doing the right thing. They know he's a prophet and a healer. But there's no fruit because they don't genuinely believe in Jesus Christ. Genuinely place their faith in him as their Lord and as their Messiah. What is the fruit that is missing here? Because from all outward appearances, everything seems to be in place, and the fruit that is missing is the one thing that's necessary, and that is faith. What is the fruit that Jesus is looking for? If you have your Bibles open, look at verses 21. Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only be able to do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask for in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. So often we look at that passage and get sidetracked by the fact that there's being a mountain is being thrown into the sea. But don't miss the main point that Jesus is talking about, that genuine fruit of faith in him. Genuine faith in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Jesus is looking for the fruit of faith. A profession of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. That's the fruit he's looking for. Now, what about us? What happens when we miss the main point? When we say the right things and do the right things and have the right answers, but it's just a bunch of leaves. And there's no fruit. In the hustle and the bustle of getting ready for Passover, in our passage here, Passover is something that points to the long-awaited Messiah, points to Jesus Christ. And in the hustle and the bustle of getting ready for this celebration, pointing to Jesus, they miss the point. All leaves. No fruit. Going through all of the motions, but not having a genuine faith. What happens when our own worship just becomes a routine that we go through? Going to church because that's what you do. Singing the songs, saying that Jesus is King. Hosanna, loud Hosanna, without a genuine faith. going through the motions. What would people think if I didn't? It's all leaves without fruit. We can recite the creeds, the catechism, sing the right songs, say the right things, but in doing so, we can also forget and miss what they're all pointing to and why. And the warning for us this morning is the fig tree. Jesus comes looking for the fruit of faith, a genuine faith that places our belief and trust in Him. A wholehearted trust, a deep-rooted conviction created in us by the Holy Spirit that everything God says in His Word is true. That because of Christ, not only others, but I have had my sins forgiven, had been made perfectly righteous before God. Genuine faith in Jesus Christ. When it comes to cursing this fig tree, Sinclair Ferguson explains that it drives us to one of two conclusions. On the one hand, either Jesus was callous and cynical in the use of his power. He's just walking along the road and cursing a fig tree. That's the first option. Or the question of our spiritual fruitfulness is one of immense seriousness, which we ignore at our peril. The Jewish people did ignore it, and within years were exposed to the withering judgment of God. How much we need to learn that, without exception, Jesus means what He says. Here we have a wake-up call. Where do you place your faith? Is it really in Jesus Christ alone? Or are you majoring in the minors, getting sidetracked with the non-essentials, or focusing on the insignificant? What things in your life do you love more than you love Christ? What things in your life have become more important to you than your faith in Jesus Christ? And nurturing that faith, strengthening that faith, growing that faith, producing the fruit of faith. Jesus comes looking for the fruit of a genuine faith in Him. What's He going to find? After the crowds in our passage, we come to the temple. Our second point this morning, the temple. Now, the temple at this point is the temple that Herod built. So not Solomon's temple, it's Herod's temple. This temple is huge, it is magnificent, and it is bustling with life. People were buying and selling and exchanging money and selling doves and pigeons. You can almost picture the events of the temple kind of like a flea market or a yard sale. People are shouting, they're dealing, they're laughing. It's full of life. There's a lot going on. This temple is the heart of Israel's religious life, the heart of its social life. It's the symbol of their national identity. And there's so much life happening, so much going on here, so many leaves, but no fruit. The chief priests and the teachers of the law, the ones who are in charge, the ones who have it all figured out, they actually become angry when there's a glimpse of fruit. What do I mean by that? They're not bothered by the fact that the temple has been turned into a marketplace, probably in the court of the Gentiles, and people aren't able to actually worship because of all the buying and the selling that's happening there. What gets them upset, what makes them mad, is that Jesus has the audacity to heal people. And that the children are crying out, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Lord, save us." That's what makes them upset. There's a glimpse of fruit, a glimpse of the children placing their faith and their trust in Jesus, the blind and the lame coming to Him in order to be healed. There's a glimpse of a genuine faith, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, the scribes, the Pharisees, they're upset about that. Blind and the lame came to Him at the temple and He healed them. But when the teachers of the law, chief priests, scribes, saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant, outraged, angered. We don't do that here. We don't want fruit. There's a lot more going on here theologically than Jesus simply cleaning house, cleaning up the temple. At first it might seem like Jesus is protecting the temple from being misused and restoring it to its role of a house of prayer for all nations. But what's really going on here is Jesus is shutting this temple down. One theologian explains it like this: Jesus isn't cleaning the temple as one who comes in the name of the Lord. He is shutting the temple down. He's chopping down the tree that doesn't produce fruit. Matthew 7 verse 18, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them." The temple has served its purpose. The purpose of pointing to the long-awaited Messiah. All of the rituals, all of the sacrifices, all of the ceremonies pointing to Jesus Christ coming as the ultimate sacrifice. And now he has come. A little bit later, Jesus and his disciples will be walking and the disciples, Jesus is going to tell his disciples that this temple is going to be destroyed. Matthew 24, Jesus left the temple and was walking away with his disciples, and his disciples came up to him and called his attention to the buildings. "Hey, Jesus, look at how great these buildings are." And what does Jesus say? "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." You think this building is so great? It's just a bunch of leaves. Jesus is shutting down the temple and replacing it with a better temple, himself. A better way of saying this is that Jesus has come as the fulfillment of everything the temple was pointing to. It all finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Everything that's going on in the temple is pointing to Christ, and yet the people missed it. It's all leaves. In the Netherlands, when the tulip fields are in full bloom, they come through with a machine, kind of like a swather, and chop up all the blossoms. I can remember about this time of year seeing that for the first time and wondering, what is going on here? You plant those tulips in the fall, and you wait all winter, and finally spring comes, and they're blooming, and you go out with your scissors, and you're cutting off those blossoms. I prefer the leaves. Or you go out into your field or your garden and there are no ears of corn in this cornfield. There's no bean pods. Well, there's no harvest, but oh, that's okay. At least the green looks nice, right? Or you go out to your garden later this summer and that tomato plant you've been caring for the last few months, there's a lot of leaves on it, but there's no tomatoes. Well, that's okay. The green looks nice, right? And that's exactly what the people of Israel were doing. All of the rituals, all of the ceremonies, all of the laws, all of the customs, all of the sacrifices, pointing to this moment, pointing to the Messiah. He has finally come, the long-awaited Savior, the blossom, the fruit. And they prefer the leaves. Instead of turning to Christ with a genuine faith, they look to anything and everything else, which ironically is pointing to him, but they don't see that. And the same kind of thing happens today. A lot of leaves, but no fruit. We get caught up in the superficial and the insignificant. The leaves instead of the fruit of faith. For example, We might be tempted to judge the success of a church by its leaves instead of its fruit. It's all about the building. They've got a wonderful facility. They've got programs. They've got numbers, a full parking lot, a coffee bar, a bookstore, a gym. And what do we think? Well, they must be doing something right. In our own lives. Keeping up appearances. Saving face. What would other people think? It's all superficial, a lot of nice green leaves, but no fruit, no genuine faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior. The tree looks healthy, it's full of leaves, but things aren't always the way they appear. Is there fruit? Is there a genuine faith in Jesus Christ? Because nothing else matters. The crowd, the temple, and third and finally, as we conclude this morning, the fig tree. Once again, things aren't always the way they appear. Jesus is hungry, and he sees this fig tree growing next to the road, and he goes up to it and finds nothing but leaves. There's the promise of fruit. It's full of leaves. It should be full of fruit. From all outward appearances, there should be fruit, but there is nothing except leaves. Things aren't always the way they appear. Is there fruit? Is there a genuine faith in Jesus Christ? Because nothing else matters. Jesus explains at the end of our passage what he's looking for, verse 21. Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. If you have faith. And here we catch a glimpse of something greater than the superficial leaves. Christ's incomparably great power for who? For you who believe. We live by faith, not by sight, 2 Corinthians says. Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see, Hebrews tells us. A knowledge, a conviction, a wholehearted trust, a deep-rooted assurance that out of the sheer grace earned for us by Jesus Christ, we have had our sins forgiven. We've been made right with God. And that not only others, but you have been given salvation. There you have the fruit. And as Jesus is riding in this Palm Sunday, his triumphal entry is pretty much the opposite of what everyone would normally expect from a king. There's no leaves, there's no show. He's just fulfilling prophecy, just the basics, doing what he said he would do. Hosanna to the Son of David. Zechariah 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey. He may not seem like much riding in on a donkey, and to the world today, he may not seem like much more than just some Jewish guy who died a long time ago. But he is the king who has established an eternal kingdom for those who place their faith in him, for those who produce the fruit of a genuine faith. Christ comes looking for the fruit of faith, those who place their faith in him alone, trusting in him, knowing and being convicted that what he says in his word is true, and having the comfort that comes with that genuine faith, that our sins are forgiven, that we have been made right with God, that we have been given salvation. He doesn't want the show, he leaves. He wants the fruit of faith. Faith in him as our Savior. A genuine faith that cries out, Hosanna. Lord, save us. Because that's why he came. Hosanna, Lord, save us. Lord, save me as my Messiah. As my Savior. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before you, praising and crying out, Hosanna, Lord, save us. Lord, save me. We pray, Lord, that you will cultivate and grow the fruit of faith in each and every person here this morning or listening in. We pray that you will continue your work, Lord, bringing us to faith in Jesus Christ, producing that fruit of faith, and fully accomplishing our salvation in Christ alone. Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna, Lord, save us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.